Welcome back, everybody. It is the Go Blue with Stu podcast. I am your host, Stu Douglas. We got our very own Jeff Goodman here today. Before we start talking to Jeff, I want to make sure everyone hits that subscribe button, rate and review, go on the YouTube, hit the subscribe button, go on Spotify, hit the follow. We really appreciate it. We want to keep growing those numbers. I really appreciate the support. It's been great. But I want to get back to our guest, Jeff. This is the first time. Well, no, we were on the initial time with me, right?
Initial.
Yeah. So we got you
this thing together before Beeline, you know, Beeline took the, you know, he was the starring role of that pod. I was just,
of course,
kind of, you know, bringing it on. But it's kind of interesting. I'll come back for this one as Michigan comes back from a lengthy pause, right? A lengthy pause that I don't know how worried you are. But I saw, now Clemson isn't Michigan, but I've seen some teams come back from pauses and it has not been pretty. So how worried are you about Michigan coming back and picking up where they left off?
I'm a little concerned. I got certain concerns with play. I have certain concerns with injuries and coming back because now they're going to pack the schedule. So it's going to be even different than they were playing before, from what I've heard from the Big Ten commissioner. So there's just going to be a lot of things for them to navigate. The one thing they've been good at, though, is navigating, you know, staying, getting better throughout this entire time. Like, no matter what's being thrown at them, no matter if it's roster changes, guys getting hurt, guys out, like, they just keep pushing forward. So I'm not too worried about this team, like, in terms of their makeup, but, like, I guess in terms of no matter who it was, yeah, I'm a little worried about them coming back and playing. I don't know. I don't know what they're practicing like. I don't know if you've heard anything. I don't know if they're going hard or.
Yeah, I don't think they were allowed to do much early. And that's why I think they pushed this thing back to start later than they probably could have. And I think it's smart because right now, if you're Michigan, you're protecting your seed. Like,
yeah,
if I'm them, I've built up enough that we don't have to come back quick. It was like Villanova, right? Villanova had a 27-day layoff and they took their time a little bit coming back. And
yeah,
to me, you've earned it. You've built up that equity, protect it. And honestly, I think it's a smart move by whether it's Juwan Howard, whether it's, you know, or Manuel, their AD. I don't know who's made that decision, probably a combination of them and even above them, but I think it's a smart move.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be contentious with, if teams aren't playing enough games and for the Big Ten title, but this team has much bigger sights. Like, their goal is the national championship. They know that. They're the best.
All right. Can I ask you something on that?
Yeah.
So I actually just talked to a bunch of Baylor players today. Baylor, a year ago, they had a chance to win the Big 12 title and they completely pissed it away. Okay. Completely pissed it away. They had it, literally had it, and blew a game against TCU. So I asked them all, I said, hey, you had a similar team a year ago and the NCAA tournament was canceled. And are you guys on a mission? I feel like you guys are on a mission because it's a similar team. You didn't have a chance to play for a Final Four national title. And each one kind of said the same thing. They were like, no, it's not really about that. We're more pissed off. We want to win another Big 12 title. And I'm like, really? Like, that's what you're really worried about, a Big 12 title right now instead of a national title? So when you said that, that made me kind of like, really? Like, are you thinking, aren't you thinking in terms of, if you're Michigan though, right now, the players, Big Ten title first, and then maybe a national title?
That is true. I will say Baylor has that bad loss. They had that bad taste in their mouth and that stuff sits with you. I mean, I still have it from my senior year, but yeah, I think it is that college mentality where it is one day at a time, literally one day at a time, one game at a time. We're only going to look ahead. So that first goal is, yeah, I guess the conference title. And guys are competitive. Every game is very important. So they're not going to look ahead, but it's been such a mess that I don't know if you're going to, I just wouldn't like linger on it. You know, if I'm Michigan, like, yeah, we're going to do whatever we're going to do, you know, win how many games we're going to win. But like, maybe it comes down to, you know, we don't get it because we didn't play enough games. Like, who knows what's going to happen. So like,
I don't know what the formula is. Every league's got a different formula. And I don't know if they put them out publicly, but some leagues, they'll reward teams for playing more games. So you get like more points per win. Other leagues, it's winning percentage.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's going to be. And it's really, ultimately, I don't know how much it's going to matter because, you know, you're going to be seeded high in the Big Ten tournament no matter what. If you're Michigan,
yeah,
are you going to be one? Are you going to be two? Are you going to be three? I don't know at the end of the day, but you're going to be one of those. You're going to have to beat some good teams to win the Big Ten title. And as importantly, you're going to have to protect and try to get that number one overall seed, which I think is more important than people think this year, because I do not want to play Gonzaga or Baylor until Indianapolis, until the Final Four. Everything's in Indy this year. But I don't want to see either one of those until the Final Four.
No, not at all. And we were talking pre-pod about Ohio State being four. Like, you're not really scared of too many people. And people still aren't really scared of Michigan like that. I think they should be, because I think they're a matchup nightmare in terms of, like,
you should be scared of Baylor and Gonzaga. Those are the only two teams that instill, like, major fear of, oh, no, we drew them. Like, Michigan, yes. They're probably at the top of the rest of them. But, but there's a large cluster of the rest of them, in my opinion.
Well, so what do you think about Ohio State? Because it's been confusing me. I mean, I said it in a couple pods ago. They started out of the Big Ten. Well, who'd they lose to, like Northwestern or somebody?
Yeah.
I watched them in a pre-conference or a game before the conference started. I don't know who they were playing. They just didn't look very good. And all of a sudden –
lost to Purdue twice.
Yeah.
And, so maybe it's one of those. They're not that good, but you know what they do? They play hard as shit. They play kind of like your teams did, to be honest. They maximize their ability. No knock on you, Stu, or no, Zach, I mean, Novak.
It's true.
But you guys maximize your abilities as well as just about any team. And Ohio State's done that. They play hard as shit. They play together. And I think in this era, like this season of the pandemic, it's, can you lock in? Can you forget about all the external things, everything else going on in your life? And there's a lot of mental health issues going on with all of us, especially college kids. You're not supposed to go out and party. And, you know, we got to tell that to the Carolina boys down at Chapel Hill a little bit. They didn't quite. And if you party,
it's warmer,
don't take videos. I mean, come on, what are we doing here?
I don't understand it.
I mean, you go to Carolina. You're supposed to be smart. Maybe they're not. You know, we won't get into the classes. We won't get into those.
But, yeah, you touched on a touchy subject. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't take videos if you're out there partying in a house party or whatever. But, I think Ohio State, Chris Holtmann, you got to give him a ton of credit. Ton of credit. He's done this at Butler. He's done this at Ohio State.
Yep.
And I think he's one of the most underrated coaches in America. Getting back to Michigan. Here's what I think the great part of Michigan coming back is. Juwan Howard. I think if there's a guy that's built for this, for the steadiness of it all, it's Juwan Howard, right? He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low.
Yep.
If they do struggle out of the gates, he's not going to panic or anything like that. He's going to know how to handle guys. And I also think it might have come at the right time for Hunter, because Hunter was struggling a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, he started to hit not a freshman wall, but he started to get a little bit frustrated. I think people started to get a little bit of a book on him. And and I think that the break, if it helped anybody, it probably helped Hunter Dickinson, because maybe the game will slow down a little bit for him now when he comes back. And again, he had a chance to really, like, I just think it was the greatest place for Hunter Dickinson to go to learn from Juwan Howard. Like, better big guy are you? I say that all the time to big guys. Don't you want to be coached by a big guy? Like, years ago, you had Steve Wojciechowski coaching Duke's bigs when he was an assistant. And I'm like, why would I, if I'm a big guy, want to be coached by a 5'11 guard in college? Like, no, I want to be coached by Juwan Howard or Mark Pope or somebody who's played my position before.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great big coach in Bakari Alexander, and he helped Jordan Morgan a bunch. Through his development, you know, Mitch McGarry, all those guys. And it was crucial. And it was something, you know, as a guard, I'm like, bigs, just set me a screen, box out, rebound, you know, do
don't
your
call
big
for
stuff.
The ball. Whatever you do, don't call for the ball.
No, they're going to forget the plays. You got to push them into help side. Like, but to have that, to have like a real true big man coach made a huge, huge difference. And, you know, the Michigan assistants back then, Laval, Jeff, and Bakari, you know, it was all about how smart they were and defensively and scouting, but like the individual work it's an underrated part of it. And it's, you get in the middle of the season and like you're not doing individual skill work, but still, like, to have Juwan in Hunter's ear when he's going through the ups and downs of his freshman year, very crucial.
Yeah, listen, no question. I think there's not enough of those big guys, and that's the hard part.
Isn't that weird?
It's not. There's more point guard coaches.
Yeah.
It's what it is. It comes down to, if you went through the around the country and broke it down by position, that they played,
yeah,
I bet you you'd have like over 50% would be point guards that are coaching.
Yeah. And a lot of guys that, you know, were fringe players and they knew they wanted to coach anyways. And they weren't
I'm talking the guys who played. The guys who played at a high level and played a position in college or in the NBA. Yeah, my guess is 50% would be point guards. And for some reason, I don't know if it's that bigs don't look the part, so they don't hire them. Like Danny Manning was another one. Like imagine learning from Danny Manning.
Yeah.
One of the greatest players, college players ever. So I think that's a big advantage for Hunter. And I think we talked about this, maybe we didn't, but it's why Isaiah Todd to me should have gone to Michigan, and he's in the G League Ignite team. They started yesterday, and I kind of watched it a little bit. I wasn't too locked into it, but I think Isaiah Todd could have learned a lot from Juwan Howard.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, it's just going to be to watch what Hunter's done, and for recruitment after that, it's going to be not easy. None of it's easy. Like it can go up and down every year, but I mean, it's right there. It's easy for these guys to observe it at least. And then making that decision is a little different, but I kind of want to get back into some of the Michigan players. And you asked me about, you know, how this team is going to react.
Yeah.
And you said Juwan was going to be a big reason. And yeah, for sure. I want to give a lot of credit to the players as well, because you got guys like, I've been loving Sean D and Mike Smith all year because they've come in and they've had to sacrifice themselves and their dreams and their goals. And they just want to win. Like they want to come in, win right away. You know, I've been clamoring for Sean D to get more minutes. You know, Mike Smith was leading the nation in shots last year and he came in and just played his role. So it's guys like that on top of Liver's intensity, on top of Franz's intensity and skill. Like, there's so much that I don't worry about from a mental aspect with this team. I guess it's more of the physical aspect of not being able to train like that, or how they were able to, I don't know, maybe get some bikes in their apartments. Like, I don't know what strings you could pull, but
they should get Pelotons. Like if I'm, I mean, again, I think if it had been the football team, they'd absolutely make sure that the football team has Pelotons in each guy's room. Like you find a way, right? Like some booster would donate Peloton bikes to make sure everybody could stay in shape. I don't know if that's the case with the hoops team.
Let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. When you win at Bet Rivers Sportsbook, they pay fast. And now it's even faster with Rush Pay instant approval for withdrawals. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. With March Madness right around the corner, there's never been a better time to give BetRivers Sportsbook a try. Go to BetRivers.com today or download the BetRivers iOS app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oops, team. So 23 days, they're going to be off. Here's my question to you. If you're off, and they weren't off for 23. Let's say you couldn't do much other than one-on-0 stuff, Stu, for 14. How long do you think it would take you to get back to where you were prior to the pause? How many days do you think?
Now I'm thinking as a 30-year-old basketball player right here.
No, I'm asking you the 20-year-old Stu Duggan.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to when I was 20. Didn't have to warm up. Warm up was like the first, you know, the first game that we had. But
you didn't have to stretch then.
No, God, no, nothing. I don't even want to think about it, Jeff. Honestly, it's
sad. Just wait until you're my age. Wait.
God, I'm just going to freeze myself. All right. I think a week. I think like a good week and building up. So maybe 10 days. And we're not getting back. I mean, they're not going to get back into peak form until a game or two anyways. Like,
right. No, luckily it's going to be a couple games. I mean, if you watch Villanova, they weren't good. They finally hit their stride. It's been almost 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully they can, who knows, maybe they'll have to slow it down. Maybe they won't. They'll just slow it down and just rely on their defense a little more.
Or play their bench a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that'll help them in the long run. Don't you?
I cannot agree more, because again, it's nice to ride your top 6-7 guys. You just never know what's going to happen. You get some ankle turn in the tournament, and like guys got to step up.
Or COVID again. This was an athletics deal. This wasn't their team necessarily that was hit. So ultimately, I think you always worry about COVID. And I've talked to plenty of coaches. And remember, even the guys on other teams who have tested positive back in the summer, it's 90 days. And then they're going to have to test again for the NCAA tournament. So the only guys who aren't going to have to test that are positive, that have been positive, are the guys within that 90-day window. So basically, if they got positive from, you know, January, February, or early in March, they're okay. They don't have to test for the NCAA tournament. Everybody else does, which is kind of crazy. And then obviously, you know, you got the contact tracing that you have to worry about it as well.
Yeah.
But this thing is going to be very interesting because Dan Gavitt told me they run the NCAA tournament. He said, listen, we're not stopping this thing. So like if Michigan gets hit, if Gonzaga gets hit, if Baylor gets hit, life goes on. They're not stopping this tournament. They got too much of this on the line.
Yo, for sure. For sure. This is a lot to do with the Big Ten tournament, I think, as well. And wherever they can just put it in Indiana, you know, they don't really care as much.
No, that's where it's going. It's a smart business decision to put it in Indianapolis. Why not? Again, the question's going to be, like, if you're Michigan and you get knocked out early, like, they want teams to stay in Indy if they can. But if you get knocked out on, like, Friday and your first game isn't until the next, like, Friday, you're going to go home. You're going to go back to Michigan. You're going to test there for however many days and then go back to Indy. So I don't know if it's going to completely work. But it makes sense. What's the difference? If you have it in Indy or Chicago, there's no difference to me. Who cares? Yeah. So you might as well do it in Indy for the teams that do just stay there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not worried about this Michigan team. Again, all it takes is one guy, one knucklehead. That's all it takes. And
yeah,
that's the problem with it. Michigan team, I'm not really worried about it. It seems like everyone's focused, but it is going to be extremely interesting. I'm also curious to see. We keep talking about like the basketball side of things with all this COVID stuff and the scheduling. And it's like, if they're going to be playing three games in, you know, 8, 9 days, 10 days, whatever it is, every 10 day increments, the academic side is going to be a struggle. The mental health side is going to be a struggle. Like, how are you supposed to
class? You went to class at Michigan State?
Well, luckily my junior and senior year, they didn't really check my classes. So that was good for me. But I got away with it. That was pretty good. You know, there are certain classes you knew you could skip, but I don't know what it's like. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes and I can't even begin to imagine what that balance is like. And then on top of I mean, when the pandemic hit, I was in Israel and I was by myself in my apartment stuck. Like I couldn't walk outside, you know, 100 meters outside my apartment for about a week at one point. And that was rough. I mean, so to think about what they're going through now, and I can go out and go to the store and like, they really know they can't.
Right.
So they're kind of back into that again. It's like, we already did this before. Now we got to do it again. That's something
I will say to this. So here's the thing. I asked Dan Gavitt that too. And he said, you know, the one thing is for the NCAA tournament, you've got of the 68 teams, there's only 16 that are going to stay for more than a week. Everybody else is home within a week, everybody else. So, you know, and if you're one of those final 16 teams at that point, you've got that end goal of a national title. So you're like, yeah, it's not the same experience. You're not walking outside in downtown Indianapolis, seeing fans everywhere. You're not seeing many fans, maybe, you know, in the stands. I'm going to end up probably going to Indianapolis and going to games, but I'm going to be way up top. And so they won't really have any interaction other than on Zoom with much media. So I got a question for you, though, not to change subjects, but I want to change subjects. So as a Michigan man, what are you thinking of Michigan State right now? What are you thinking when you're watching this team this year? And they are awful. Like, they're not Kentucky awful, but they're, last I checked, they're 10th place in the Big Ten or thereabouts. It's crazy. I mean, like, what do you think? Do you feel bad for your rivals?
I do feel bad, and it's not really that enjoyable. When it's enjoyable is when they're good and talking trash, and then you beat them. Like, it's not fun to beat a horse that's, you know, got a broken leg. Like, that's just, to me, it's a little mean. Now, I understand why fans love it and people will enjoy it, and you know, I'm not going to blame them for it because Michigan State fans will do the same exact thing. But it's just strange. It's strange to see the Tom Izzo team doing this. And beginning of the Big Ten season when they weren't playing well and just weren't looking good. And I was like, well, I'm never going to count out a Tom Izzo team. Well, it's gone. Like it's gone. Like it's just not coming back at this point. And I don't fully understand. I know they got some struggles with position players and who's going to step up where, but I don't know. I guess enjoy it now because I don't see it lasting for a long
time. They're 4-7 in the Big Ten. Like, who would have thought we would say before the season that, again, Kentucky would be in 10th place in the SEC.
Yeah.
Duke would be in 10th place in the ACC. And Michigan State would be in 10th place in the Big Ten. Like, it's just – it's absolutely amazing. You know, the big question, obviously, is going to be like, all right, is Imani Bates coming to East Lansing next year? He's the number one player in the country. He could reclassify. People think he might just go G League, Ignite route, and make the money. Who knows? Yeah. You know, people try to compare him to KD. I've seen them both at the same stage. He's not as long as KD, but he's smooth like that. I mean, he can shoot the hell out of the ball. He's tough. He's pretty good. All right. I got one more for you. So they start this weekend, Sunday, Valentine's Day. So I don't know. Is this what you're going to be? Are you going to be locked in on Valentine's Day for Michigan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, hopefully my girlfriend isn't listening and see we've got some big plans. I'll make some plans. I got some Valentine's Day plans, you know, order something at home. You know, they got those nice deliveries now. Jeff, you got to pay attention to those.
It's a noon game. So, like, you just got to work around that a little.
Exactly. Which is, that's the easy part. Yeah, because I'm a dinner guy, you know, light the candles at night, pour the wine.
Yes.
Order it'll be fine. I'll be locked nice.
You know, go get the flowers. Go get the flowers in the morning, Stu. No yeah, flowers?
Flowers are kind of going, I don't know. She's not a big flower girl. And flowers, I just feel like they're kind of dying out in terms of the Valentine's Day game. Maybe that's me. Maybe that's the younger generation. Maybe that's what's wrong.
I just feel like you just do as much as, you know, you do the flower. Like, what? All right, so what else do you do?
Well, I love to cook.
Okay.
I love to cook and buy a nice bottle of red wine. And
I can't cook and I don't drink wine. So
those
two are out of the equation. So that may be why I go with flowers.
There you go.
The options are more limited for me.
Yeah. Yeah. The cooking part pays dividends. I'll tell you that.
What's your go-to meal to make is what?
Oh, like something like that. It would be like a red wine braised short rib. It'd be really good. Yeah.
Wow. That's delicious.
Easy and delicious.
When this whole thing, you know, when this whole pandemic's out, like either I'm coming over there or I'm coming to Israel.
Deal. All right? Yeah.
I'll come to Israel. If you're going back to Israel next year, seriously, I may make a trip over there. You think I'm kidding?
I mean, it's everyone's going to be traveling too. Like everyone's going to be restless. So like, I'm going to get out. Israel's a great place to go.
I think I told you. Did I tell you this, that I was bar mitzvah there when I was 13?
Yeah, you did tell me that. I think you told me like one of the first times you came to Michigan, I think. Yeah. That's funny.
So I'd like to take my daughter there if I could. She's 17. I feel like, you know, once she gets older, she's not going to want to go anywhere with it. Well, maybe free trips. She'll want to go just because it's a free trip. Having to pay for your own, you're kind of limited at 18 years old. Anyway. All right. So they play at the Kohl Center on Sunday against Wisconsin. They beat the crap out of Wisconsin earlier this year in Ann Arbor. First of all, what is it like? I know it's not the same. Obviously, they're not going to have fans. But what is it like going to the Kohl Center?
Rough. Really? I mean, just rough. It's one of the things that I wish would have happened in my career, like to win at the Kohl Center. It would have been really fun because I think I pretty much won everywhere else. And I think that was maybe the only place. And, I mean, the fans, when they're there, the student section is just on top of you. And it's like a mini NBA arena. It has that kind of like shape and feel, totally. But at the same time, they're still on top of you and it's very intimate. Like Ohio State is an NBA arena and it's just not that college
further back.
Doesn't have the same feel. Like Wisconsin, whoever designed that arena did it right. They knew exactly what they're doing. And yeah, those guys, that I never heard anything too crazy from the fans, although I didn't pay too much attention, but it was, I mean, the hardest place to play. And they just control everything. They're always in control when they're at home, at least during my time. And, you know, they played so slow back then when I played.
They play faster now, thank God.
Yeah, thank God. I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. It was like 30 seconds of shot clock or just dribbling the shot clock. And then you got to play pick and roll defense for 5-10 seconds. Like,
it was, can't imagine playing against them.
It was the most boring. I didn't sweat. It was the most boring thing in the world. Like sometimes you just lose focus and like yeah. That's what they took advantage of.
Right, like, right. Like, let's go already. Let's go.
Honestly.
Give me the place where the fans were the most ruthless. Where was that place?
Michigan State was pretty ruthless. There's two stories. One was, we played at Purdue. I think this is my freshman year. And there was like a hush in the crowd. It was like a kind of a dead ball. We were waiting. They were going to take it out. And I was guarding the inbounder and something wrong with the clock. So the refs are over by the scoreboard and dealing with that. And then there's like a lull in play. And there's just a real hush in the crowd. None of the student section was going crazy. And then I won't repeat what was said.
Okay.
But something was said about my high school girlfriend at the time. It was not great. And everybody just starts cracking up. Like the whole student section hears it and just starts cracking up. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm trying not to like react to it. And I'm like, this is insane. Like this.
Were you pissed or were you ready to laugh?
No, I wasn't pissed. I was just like, I can't believe that just happened. But you know, I'm from Indiana, Purdue people, you know, they know me. Yeah. The second one was at Michigan State, and those fans, that was like the time I think I got like the closest to the fans and like actually talked to some of the students, and they like had pictures of my girlfriend and like her Halloween outfit, and they're like, you know, like trying to shame me over it, and I'm like, I don't care, man. And they're like, at the end of it, there was like, it was like a nice exchange. Like it was like funny and nice and like everything, nothing too harsh. But
that's when it's good. Like when it's in fun, like that's what college is kind of about, right? Like you don't get that when you're playing overseas. You're not having that back and forth. I mean, I've seen it with player fan. I've seen it with official and fan. I've had it. I mean, fans have gone at me hard. And what do? You kind of laugh it off, right?
Exactly. If you can take it, because you got to be able to take it, you know, but I will say IU, I think was the worst. I think there were some times where they were like the meanest, and I've heard other stories from other players and other teams. And yeah, they don't really mess around at IU.
They do not. All right. Well, we got Valentine's Day coming up. We got Michigan coming back on the court. This is finally, it feels like they haven't played in forever.
No, it feels like forever. It's going to be very strange to watch a Michigan game again, but I have complete and total faith in them from a mental aspect. Hopefully, physically, they can stay healthy. And honestly, if they lose a couple games and stay healthy, I'm fine with it. Like, they just be competitive, get back into the thing, swing of things, and just stay healthy. That's key right now.
No doubt.
Well, I appreciate you, Jeff. Everybody, subscribe, rate, and review. We really appreciate it. Need all that support. And, thanks for listening. Until next time.